Thanks for taking time out of your day to join us here on the Clark Howard Show, where it's all about you and that wallet of yours. I want you to learn ways to save more and spend less, and don't let anyone ever rip you off. There's a lot of technology coming that's going to affect how you do a variety of things, even jobs that people hold. Amazon has developed a shopping cart. As most people aren't aware, Amazon very quietly is opening Amazon-branded supermarkets. And they're doing just a few around the country, as they've really failed with Whole Foods. They're trying to come up with an Amazon-branded supermarket. And the shopping carts automatically know what you have in your cart. And when you're done shopping, you just walk right out of the Amazon grocery. So you don't even stop at a cashier. And the one thing you have to be is you have to be registered with Amazon with the app on your phone. And then it knows who you are when you come in, knows how you're going to pay. And then the cart, I know this is freaky and weird, but the cart automatically is able to register each item that has gone in there. It's called the dash cart. And when you're done, you're done. Just go straight to your vehicle. Walmart, Amazon's arch rival, is rumored to be coming out with an addition to their app where registered shoppers, and it's not clear what category that's going to be, will be able to check out the store on their own right on their phone. It's not as easy as what Amazon's offering. It's very similar if you are a Sam's Club shopper and have used their self-checkout on your phone. And it's great because it allows people who know how much money they can spend to not get to the register and say, oh, I don't have enough money for that. Will you take that off? Will you take that off? You take that off. You, as you go along, you're able to ring things up. You know what they're going to cost, what your total bill is, and the rest. And this puts cashier jobs at risk, obviously. But the retailer is looking to create a more efficient environment. And then the other aspect that's been rumored is that they're trying to deal with people's fears of human contact right now with Corona, and that's why they're going to offer people the ability to ring up their own purchases. Is completely different than self-checkout. This is just reading the barcodes as you go on your phone with a running total, and then you end up checking yourself out. It creates a barcode that the greeter at the door scans with a little electronic gun, and they're able to verify that you're A-OK and you leave the store not ever having gone to a register or a line for one. I got one that's really crazy. I talked about this after being at the CES, the Consumer Electronics Show, 3 years ago. And it's about robots for restaurants, that robots that can do a variety of things. And one that I talked about 3 years ago that is now in the marketplace and appearing in restaurants, it's California-based, is the Flippy. The Flippy is able to make a variety of food items, burgers, french fries, a variety of foods. They're able to actually make those items for you. No human involvement, is they're made by the robot. And there are a number of things going on in the hotel business with robots that are able to do sanitation duties in the hotel, as people are expecting a much higher standard of sanitation in hotels. And I can tell you from a cross-country trip that my oldest brother and his wife just took from the east coast of Florida to Park City, Utah, that they found enormous differences in the cleanliness and what felt like a sanitary environment at various hotels that they stayed at going across the country. And this is going to make or break reputations for hotel chains, how their individual properties do sanitation moving forward. And the weakest link with a brand name tarnishes the whole brand name. So having robotics to do some of this sanitizing is going to be very important. It's time for your questions you posted for me at clark.com/ask. Producers Kim and Joel alternating. And Kim, who do you have a question from?
This is from Jason in Texas. And Jason says, I have a friend who sent me an invite to a crypto program where you get a Coinbase account for a fund manager who will trade your investments for a 30-day money-back guarantee on all deposits. The whole setup seems very etch-a-sketchy, but has been showing his returns and the money he gets from affiliates as really good. Do you think this is a new age Ponzi scheme?
I don't know with individual things involved with crypto, what's a Ponzi and what's not. Generally, it's been well after the fact when Ponzi's have been exposed involving crypto, which is the hottest area for Ponzi schemes, by the way, after people have long since lost all their money, that it becomes clear in hindsight that somebody was running a con game, a Ponzi scheme. But even if somebody's straight up legit with any buy-sell system for cryptocurrency, know that it is something that leaves a trail of tears. Cryptocurrency is far more risky than going to Las Vegas and gambling. As cryptocurrencies, there's none that have true market conversion. And by true market conversion, that's where the values, if cryptocurrency was really a valid form of money, it would have stable value. And people even pitching you that you can get enormous wealth because of the rapid movements and the value of cryptocurrency is an automatic signal that they are not a replacement for valid currency, fiat currency issued by governments. So unless you have money that you'd just be as happy taking a torch to and burning it up, let your friend brag about how rich they're getting and keep your money safe. Joel?
Clark Bryan in Arizona says, my girlfriend needed to boost her credit score in order to get a better interest rate on a used car loan. So I made her an authorized user on two of my credit cards, but I didn't give her any cards to use since she has two of her own credit cards. So there's no way for her to make charges on those cards. Is it possible for my credit score to be marred if she defaults on any of her credit card payments due to this move, though?
Thank goodness for you, no. So you don't have to worry about that. And let's hope she's the greatest woman ever, because if she ever did want to engage in some not so good activity with those cards that you made her authorized users on, if she were to know where your financial records are and get the numbers, yeah, then she could cause some havoc. But that would only be if she was actually using the cards that you've made her authorized user on. As long as everything's really great, she's a wonderful person, you're not worried about anything happening that would be dishonest on her part, that would leave you holding the bag. This is a really wonderful thing you've done for her to help her raise her score. Kim?
Jennifer in Connecticut says, we're about to hire a nanny. Do you have any recommendations for payment services? It seems complicated to handle on our own, but we are willing to try if it would be a really big cost saving.
So by saying payment services, I'm only guessing that you were paying this nanny on the books and you're going to have to report taxes and file the quarterly tax filings and all that. And if that is the situation, you can hire a payroll service to handle all that for you. It's not cheap. You're going to spend potentially around $1,000 a year to have all your filings done, have them issue, pay to the nanny. And that is $1,000, just saying more or less, that in many cases is well spent, because you'll end up doing everything right and not creating any problem with the IRS later saying you didn't do something right. Joel in particular, looking at these things, likes Gusto, the Gusto people platform that allows you to do a number of things at a fairly affordable rate. It's a, people have liked it as a payroll platform, but it's more than that. It allows you even to help that employee, if you want, have a retirement plan as well. Joel?
Clark, Sandra in Oregon says, after listening to a recent show, I checked the AM Best rating on the company with which we have term life insurance. We're 10 years into 20-year policies, and we're both about 50 years old. Imagine my surprise to find that the company we're with has a C++ rating.
So
should we Should we reshop and start over with new terms and a new A++ rated provider?
Okay, I'm shallow breathing now. So, yeah, go ahead and shop a new policy. See if you health underwrite for it okay. And if the premiums, let's say you go to a new 10-year, you go to a 20-year as a replacement of this, if you're going to need insurance longer, it would be very much to your advantage to go to a company rated A++. I can't remember a time somebody's told me that they were with a company that was in the C's with AM Best. So it'd be nice to give them a kick to the curb.
This podcast is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you're driving, cooking, or doing laundry, Progressive knows the podcasts you listen to go best when they're bundled with another activity, much like how their Progressive home and auto policies go best when they're bundled. Having these two policies together makes taking care of your insurance easier and could help you save too. Customers who save by switching their home and car insurance to Progressive save nearly $800 on average. That's a whole lot of savings and protection for your favorite podcast listening activities, like going on a road trip, cooking dinner, and even hitting the gym. Yep, your home and your car are even easier to protect when you bundle your insurance together. Find your perfect combo. Get a home and car insurance quote at Progressive.com today. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $793 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2021 and May 2022. Potential savings will vary.
Jack joins us on the Clark Howard Show. Hello, Jack.
Hey, Clark. How are you?
Great. Thank you, Jack. How can I serve you?
Well, Clark, I have a car leasing question. I currently lease my primary vehicle. And I'm in a three-year, 36,000-mile lease. The lease expires this December, December the 15th. Right now, I have 25,000 miles on the car. I'm not driving a lot in this year because of the pandemic.
Right.
So I anticipate turning the car back in December with about 8,000 unused miles on it. Does that give me any kind of leverage for negotiating a new lease?
Probably not, but I have a crazy question for you.
Okay.
How do you like the vehicle?
I really like it.
What if you buy it if the residual in the lease is a fair dollar amount? Because you're looking at a vehicle that when you buy a used vehicle, usually you don't know the history. It's unknown.
Right.
You could be buying trouble. In this case, the only trouble that could have happened would have been you causing trouble.
This is true, yeah.
And you're going to have exceedingly low miles, maybe 28K on the odometer. Cars last now 250,000 miles pretty easy. So buying it,
according to the lease that I have to buy the car, it would be $17,000.
And Do you have a sense, have you been able to look online and see if 17 is a fair value for your vehicle?
No, I haven't done that, not at this point. This is, you know, it's 6 months out, so I'm just starting to think about it. As a matter of fact, about a month ago, I got an email from the dealership asking me what my intent was, and I haven't gotten back to them on that because, you know, I really don't know.
You know why they sent you that?
No, why?
They're trying to move iron. They were trying to get you to early terminate your lease if you were expressing interest. And they might have a deal with the manufacturer that would absorb some of the early turn-in to try to turn you quicker.
I see. Turn you at
2.5 years instead of 3 years or something like that. So that's not normally an advantageous thing.
Okay.
And at 17,000 for a vehicle with only 25,000 miles on it. Do you have an idea how much these vehicles cost new?
Yeah, somewhere around 30,000.
Yeah, that sounds like one I'd want to buy.
Really?
Yeah, okay. If you really like it and it's treated you well and you've treated it well, just see what, go on like Edmunds, Kelley Blue Book, see what kind of value they're showing for those 3 years old. Well, you're really not even 3 years yet.
Okay.
And odds strongly favor that your smartest financial move would be to purchase the thing.
Okay.
Particularly with you being so under miles.
Yes. Okay. I know you had mentioned, I guess, a couple of months ago, back in March, April time frame, that you know, dealerships were coming out and making offers to keep the vehicle for another year because they didn't want to take them back at that time.
Yeah, that's
because
over.
They haven't had an overabundance of inventory.
Yeah, that's over.
Okay.
Yeah, because, you know, the factories were closed in a lot of cases for 10, 11 weeks right in there. And that helped solve a lot of the inventory overhang issues. So right now, there's just tons of advantages to you owning that used car that has been new to you all along, and you know it backwards and forwards. I mean, that's really the clever move. And do you want to know something weird? It's like you could have told me it was raining, or you could have told me it was sunny. If you had told me the opposite, and you had said, hey, I had 36 miles allowance, but I drove 55,000 miles on it, in that situation, also, I'd tell you, it would be a great decision to buy the vehicle used instead of paying the overage. In your case, being so under, it's to your advantage to own the vehicle. Either extreme, it's really a great idea to buy the vehicle at the end of the lease. Glad you're with us here on the Clark Howard Show, where it's about you and that wallet of yours. I want you to learn ideas from me so you can keep more of what you have. Our websites are Clark.com and ClarkDeals.com. So I've had over the years so many questions about Acorns. Acorns is a very novel idea. And when they started, they were really pretty much the only show in town. That Acorns allowed you, with an app you download to your iPhone or Android, to save your change as you shop. You know, nothing's ever typically exactly right at, you know, a dollar, like 100, 800, whatever. So whatever change you have is automatically forced savings that goes into your Acorns account. And you can even add extra money to it. And you're able to invest. And we get calls from people who have done Acorns accounts who've never been able to save money. And they've been able over time to get thousands of dollars saved. And it really changes their psychology about money. And Acorns is not free. You know, they have the simple version that's $12 a year, a robust one that's $36 a year, and then a family membership that's $60 a year. So that means you're spending that money to get you into their system and to build the discipline of getting money aside and making a difference. Well, they have, as I guess a publicity thing this year, where if you have a baby in 2020, you can set up an account, what's known as a UGMA account, you know, an account like where you're a custodian for your kid. And from age 0 to 18, the fees are waived for that child. And with it, as a kid grows up, there's educational materials that are available to educate your kid, or for your kid to educate himself or herself, about the ins and outs of investing and the idea about how to live on less than what you make and all those things. Now, you can, as a family, you got a number of kids, pay the $5 a month, and you're able to really get that thought process over the years as your kids grow, this idea of how you build money, how you build wealth. You've got the teaching component, and then you can also have them put money in as they're earning money from chores or when they're getting a job as a teen, money can go in, and they're building money. Again, you are the custodian of the accounts till the kids reach adulthood, but it's an opportunity to teach, to learn, and also to discipline, to build up money when maybe in your life historically you haven't been able to do that as an individual, or you want to teach that to your kids. But the gimmick of having a kid this year and having no cost from 0 to 18 is really kind of neat. It's time for your questions on our show. And so if you posted a question at clark.com/ask, producers Kim and Joel alternate asking your questions. And I think, Kim, you're up.
You are right. All right. This is
I'm never right about that, am I?
It stunned me, frankly. Very proud of you. All right. So this is from Kylie in Indiana. Kylie says, hi there. My husband and I have been married for a few years now, and lately we have been fighting a lot. He's thrown out the word divorce a few times in our arguments, and it really hurts me that he's not more concerned about working things out. If he was to file for divorce, do you have any advice or tips that you would recommend for me financially, being a stay-at-home mom with two kids? Childcare is obviously crazy expensive, and I don't have a degree in anything that would make me a substantial amount of money.
Well, first of all, I am so sorry about what's going on in your marriage. And I'm going to answer the financial thing in a second, but I strongly encourage you, please, to seek out a marriage counselor. And right now, in most states, they're allowed to do these sessions online, and in many cases are only doing them in video calls rather than in person because of the pandemic. But if your husband is not interested in going to marriage counseling, please do so yourself. If the marriage can be healed, and it sounds like your heart's hurting and you'd like that as the best outcome, please bring up counseling. And even if he is closed to it, you do it, because you're going to need emotional support and healing. And I strongly advise it. As to if things do completely break down, you end up in divorce, you are going to want to hire a divorce attorney, a family practice attorney, because your husband would be required as the income earner to provide child support for the kids if they're living with you. And also, depending on the laws in Indiana, may be required to pay alimony since you were not able to get a college degree and all that, and you've not been working, you've been taking care of the kids, he may have to pay alimony for a period of time as well. But you've got to make sure you're properly represented by what now euphemistically is called family practice attorneys instead of calling them divorce lawyers. I don't know why. But anyway, you want to have that proper representation. And, you know, in spite of the advice I've given about counseling and a divorce lawyer, there's a couple of things I want you to do right away anyway. And that is, get some credit cards in your own name before anything really bad goes down in your marriage. And two, get your own checking account and make sure that money that's yours is not in a joint account. Joel?
Clark Liju in New York says, do all insurance companies automatically raise premiums like my insurer did when a child obtains his or her driver's license for the first time? Or is there a company that maybe doesn't?
No, they all eat you alive when a teenager becomes of driving age. When our daughter, who's now, she's going to be 21 in a couple of days. When she turned 16, our premiums went up by unbelievable thousands of dollars. And it's because the stats show clearly that new young drivers have a very high incidence of accidents. And so it's just them calculating in the level of risk that your child represents. The insurance cost is so high that now somewhere around 40% of teenagers don't even have a driver's license at age 18 because it's uneconomic to insure that driver. And so that is an alternative that in many families now is that the teenager no longer is getting a driver's permit. In many states, they can have a learner's permit for an extended period of time, can drive if you're in the vehicle, and the insurer may not raise your rates at that stage. Only when your child gets a driver's permit, not a learner's, but a driver's permit, do the premiums go crazy. And that's why so many people are saying, no license yet for you. Kim?
I'm going to piggyback on that last question. This is from Irene in Pennsylvania. She wants to know where to find a dependable car for her 19-year-old and hopefully only spend about $5,000 to $6,000.
So you're right in the territory where any cheaper than that, it gets really difficult to find a reliable vehicle. So what I like for you to do is buy access to Consumer Reports magazine. They put out a guide that by price category shows the most reliable used vehicles. Look at the ones they list below $10,000. And then those are the ones you want to limit your search to, the ones that they have found over the years to be very reliable. And any vehicle that you end up deciding to buy in that $5,000 to $6,000 range, I'm going to ask you to spend additional money to have it checked out by a mechanic, because you don't want to buy a vehicle for $5,000 or $6,000 that then is dead a week after you get it because it wasn't disclosed to you that it had a engine that was ready to croak or a bad transmission or the kind of thing that you and I as vehicle buyers would not know. So having a mechanic that you hire to check out that vehicle before you're committed to it is going to be the most important step after the Consumer Reports thing. So you can buy one-time access to Consumer Reports, or you can temporarily buy a subscription where you have access to their database online. Joel?
Clark Linda in South Carolina says, how do I get out of a timeshare without paying through the nose?
I'm really sorry to tell you this, and I don't know why I've been getting so many timeshare questions lately. I guess because so many people can't use them right now. But timeshares are basically unsellable. And if the developer has any interest in taking your week back, that is the most effective way for you to get rid of it. You might even have to pay that developer to take it back. But the secondary market is broken, especially right now during coronavirus. It's nearly impossible to sell one. Maria is with us on the Clark Howard Show. Hi, Maria.
Hi, Claire. How are you?
Great. Thank you, Maria. So you're thinking of buying a home?
Yes, yes. My husband and I, we've been thinking about getting a house for 3 years now. We have a family already. We have two children, a 5 and an 8-year-old. So, you know, we feel like this is past due. However, I was still in nursing school. I was getting my bachelor's, paying, you know, out of pocket. And my husband, he recently started a new job, which is paying a lot more than what he had before. So we're trying to pay off some of the debt that we have and, you know, just start some really good savings. We were thinking that maybe next year we'll be more like ready for a house. However, over the July 4 weekend, I saw a listing because we have been looking around just to see what's in the market and just kind of, you know, what is it that we really want. And I saw a house that I loved it. And aww. So we decided to walk past by. And as we were walking by, the realtor was driving by too. So, you know, she noticed that we were just kind of looking on our phones. And so she asked us if we wanted to look at it. And then, of course, we did. And it was a good house.
Have you fallen in love? Is that what you're telling me?
No. I actually, you know, it was a really, it did look really good in the pictures. But once we looked at it, there were a couple of things that, you know, didn't really, I fell out of love very much when I saw it. But she gave us the information for some the contact information for some lenders, which because we didn't even know how much we would qualify or how much we were going to be pre-approved. We kind of had an idea, and it turns out that we were right where we were thinking. So
let me stop you there for 1 second, okay?
Yes.
Just because a lender says you're approved for an amount of money, I always want you to focus on what the monthly payment would be for the payment, the taxes, and insurance. And you don't want to way outrun what you've been used to paying in rent. Because that could really put you in a bind. You know, lenders will approve you for an amount that is beyond what most people are going to be able to reasonably feel comfortable handling.
Yes, and that's definitely the one. You know, this is, I feel like my, especially my husband, he's just like, that's it, we're ready, let's go and buy this house. And then, of course, I'm a little more hesitant first because although we were approved for a good amount or pre-approved for a good amount, when it comes down to you, the down payment, he will take out some of the money from his 401k. That's the first thing. And then second, yes, like you said, we have been looking at how much we would have to pay. And it would probably increase our mortgage would be $1,000 more than what we pay in rent. So although because I'm the one in charge of the saving and my husband is kind of taking care of the bills, I think it still will be okay, but we wouldn't be able to save as much. And like you said, we have two kids, so we definitely need to save some of that money.
You're making me steadily more nervous, and I'm not the one that would be paying these bills. So tell me, how much in debt do you have? You said there's debts that you were trying to work off over the next year.
Yes. So I personally, because I paid for my school, you know, as I was studying, I was paying for it. So I don't have any student loans. I have my car, which is about $30,000. But my husband does have about $80,000 to $90,000 in debt.
What kind of debts make those $80,000 to $90,000?
Yes. He does have a student loan. Okay. He does have a car loan, and then he does have the credit cards, and especially because we started a family without planning it, those first few years when we were together with our child and then we had another child, it made it a little rough where, you know, we did get a little bit in debt.
Let me tell you my answer then. You gave me some powerful ammunition here.
Okay.
I can tell you're nervous about going forward with buying a house right now, and you're right. So what I would do is I would spend the next 12 months on a path where you live your life as if you're paying $1,000 more a month.
Okay.
And use that $1,000 to work specifically on paying down debt. You have the goal 12 months from now of being homeowners. So you live your life within a budget where you're able to reduce his debt and essentially simulate what it would be like making $1,000 more a month in payment than you're paying in rent. And if you can really get that done, then you're ready a year from now. But I'll tell you, I don't think you're ready yet. You're listening to The Clark Howard Show. Thanks for joining us today. The Clark Howard Show is produced by Kim Drobes, Joel Larsgaard, Deborah Reese, and Jim Ayers. And remember, 24 hours a day, we're there to serve you at Clark.com and ClarkDeals.com.